Thank you. All right, please be seated. God bless your wonderful hearts. I'm very excited to be here with you. One of the main reasons is we're going to be getting into God's wonderful, matchless word. God magnified his word above all his name. God's word is what it takes for people to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by. So that's what we're going to get into. And I trust that you'll have an opportunity to see the greatness of God's word. And not only see it, but have the opportunity to simulate it a little bit and believe it and walk out on it and receive the wonderful fruit that is available by believing and walking out on God's word. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 first to start. Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus Christ is a man among men, unlike any man who ever lived. The greatest man by far to ever walk on the face of this earth is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And those who know him even a little bit stand in awe at his great love, his accomplishments, his dedication to do the perfect will of God and to lay down his life for all mankind. And yet, as we observe the unparalleled works of the Son of God, we must really stand in awe of the Father, God Almighty, who so loved us and cared for us and energized his mighty power to make it available. Look at chapter 1, verse 20. Because God did love us and he energized his great power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What a God that we have. And what a reality to know, to believe, to walk as sons of God, utilizing the great Spirit of God that we have. Let's go to Revelations, please. Revelations chapter 1. We're looking at the great power manifested beyond any other power, and that's the power God exhibited by raising his Son from the dead. Without that, we would have very little that we have today. Revelations chapter 1, verse 18. It says, I am he that liveth, Jesus Christ. I am he that liveth and was what? Dead. Jesus Christ died. He was dead. 3 days and three nights, right? He was dead. But now he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive, how long? Forevermore. He is alive forevermore. He has been raised from the dead and he lives forevermore. What a great reality. What a wonderful truth. Also it says, he has the keys of hell and of death, right? He's got the keys. Imagine Satan's a little concerned about that. You know, gets out of hand there. Who's got the keys? The Lord Jesus Christ does. And he's going to use them at the right time. That's for sure. The one critical act that man can be extremely thankful for is that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Nothing else of all the exhibited power of God quite matches raising his son from the dead. As a result of his resurrection, God made available the new birth on the day of Pentecost, by which we enjoy and we can walk with the eternal life realities. And without Jesus Christ being raised, we would be missing a lot. We would really be missing a whole bunch, a lot of stuff. You know, we had a meeting here Thursday with Point Loma Assembly. The facility has been here almost 100 years, 1911 or something like that, and there's been a club here. They meet on Thursdays, the first Thursday of the week, or of the month. And last Thursday, we had a meeting here. And there's a number of ladies that have been a part of the club for many, many years. And of course, some of us in the fellowship have gotten involved with the club to help them out. But at this meeting, the president, Mrs. Vicki Barnhart, she asked anybody in the audience there, any of the ladies, had something that they were thankful for. And some of the ladies said, well, I'm thankful that I'm here and I have you as my friends. And somebody said, well, I'm thankful that I live in the United States of America, a free country. And somebody else was thankful for their family and other things. And then this lady named Vivian Hale, she looks like the ideal librarian, that lady that's been there 40 years. And she is that little, wonderful, quiet lady that never says anything. Well, Vivian raised her hand. Vicki called on her. And she stood up and she said, I'm thankful that Jesus Christ paid the price for me and that he gave his life on the cross. And I saw a movie the other day, Jesus Christ Superstar, and they had the end of the movie had him on a cross with this nice sunset in the background. You know what? That's not a good ending. You know what the greatest ending is? That God raised him from the dead. And we all went, all right, Vivian! You're right on. That was great. You know, that's got to be the greatest reality. The greatest power ever exhibited for mankind is that God raised him from the dead. We're going to look at some scriptures here that will blow your mind in realization of what we have as a result of God raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And let's start in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ from the dead. God is happy. He is blessed. And through his abundant mercy, he has made the new birth available to you and I. And it's a new birth unto what kind of a hope? A living hope. A hope that's alive, that's going to continue to be in realization as time goes on. Because when Christ comes back, then things really begin in our eternal life relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we have that hope, and it's a living hope of Christ's return. And that is there for us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, to an inheritance. And this is other things that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, not impure, that's what that means, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved in heaven, and that's a bank that can't be robbed, okay? It's reserved in heaven for us. This lively hope, the great eternal realities that we have to look forward to in the future. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. This is a record dealing with Paul in Athens, and he's at the great center of philosophy. He's at Mars Hill. And Acts 17, let's look at verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you." And he goes on and declares him. Let's pick it up at verse 28. "For in him we live and move and have our being." He's declaring this unknown God to them. "As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art or man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, to change. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead." The great assurance is that he raised him from the dead. Wow, pretty neat. It's interesting there. The word assurance is the Greek word pistis, which many of you Greek scholars here understand to be believing or faith. And this is a wonderful little figure of speech. It refers to the foundation for believing that God has given us for right believing. And that right believing is that God raised him from the dead. Man needs to know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you get born again? Confess Jesus as Lord. God raised him from the dead. You need to believe in the resurrection to get born again of God's Spirit. It is so, so important. Well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We can be very, very thankful that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Chapter 6, verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Because of this, that God raised him from the dead, we have the opportunity to walk in newness of life. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." This is our identification with Christ. We identify fully with Jesus Christ from his death to his burial to his being raised from the dead. We identify fully with him. And that's what we're seeing here. "Knowing," verse 6, "that this our old man is," or the text is, "was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is what we are to reckon. I don't know if the writer here was, Paul was from, you know, the south or anything when he wrote this, the reckon. But these are things that we are to do, to come to the conclusion that we are dead unto what? Sins. We are dead unto sins, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, verse 12, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Man, if you died and, you know, for some reason, bingo bango, I guess that's for you New Yorkers here, bingo bango, you're alive. You know, you died and all of a sudden you fight 2 minutes, you're alive. And you say, boy, I am so thankful. I've got a whole new lease on life. I'm going to change everything. Really, wouldn't you do that? Man, hey, this is what's happened for us. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We identify fully with that. We have the opportunity to walk in newness of life. You know, our bodies don't need to be instruments of unrighteousness. But let's finish that verse, right? But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's our privilege and opportunity to live like that. Romans 8. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now think about that. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, what a power that was to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. If we have that power within us, look out. That's a mighty power. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. Actual sons of God. Not religious sons of God. Not play sons of God. But real sons of God with incorruptible seed, inheritance, eternal life. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ brought us. These great realities that we could be sons of God, that we can walk in newness of life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Corinthians is a reproof epistle. Actually reproving and correcting the church in light of the doctrine that was taught in Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now, there's going to be some logic presented here. And I know you're all logical people. So follow along here. Let's see if we can catch it, okay? Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Jesus Christ said, resurrection of the dead. Some of you, no. But, verse 13, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Okay, let's follow that along. If Christ is not risen, okay, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, empty, without value? And your faith, your believing is also without value, empty. Yea, and if we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so that be that the dead rise not. Okay? If not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your believing is vain, empty, and you are yet in your sins. Uh-oh. Don't want to be in those. Yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, what's going to happen to them? They're lost. Perish. Not good. Not good. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, because if he hasn't been raised from the dead, those who are dead already have nothing to look forward to. Man, we are most miserable people. And you know, the world is pretty miserable, isn't it? They don't know the truth of God's word. If the truth is that Christ did not rise up. But I like verse 20, and that first word is, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And who has the keys to death? Jesus Christ, right? That's right. So, verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued or subject unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners or good morals. Awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. This is a reproof, correction epistle. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickeneth, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that the body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. You know, you plant a seed. Here's this little old seed, and you plant it in, and a month or two later, here's this big, beautiful plant. What a wonderful body that this little seed produces. God giveth it a body that hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. You seeing some of this? And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as in the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Wow. Wow. See, this is what you and I have to look forward to because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at this. You know, I want to close in this section here because this is the great hope we have, the great lively hope. Christ is coming back at any time, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it can happen. And we're going to be changed. We're going to get that new spiritual body. It's going to be tremendous. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory we have is through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that God raised him from the dead. He's seated at the right hand, and we're going to be up there someday soon. And that's why we're thankful to God, because we have this great victory. And as a result of this, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you and I walk in newness of life and walk with the power of God that we have, our labor is not in vain. Not at all. Not at all. We have some great things to look forward to because God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And I trust that you'll remember some of these great truths, that within your heart you have sown the truth of God's word. The seed of God's word will grow and continue to grow as you continue to work God's word and pray, speak in tongues, fellowship with the saints, so that you can continue to be fed, so that you can continue to bless and feed others. What a lifestyle we have. Because, ladies and gentlemen, real soon, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, We're going to be changed and we're going to have that great spiritual body and be ever with the Lord. So man, oh man, we got a lot to be thankful for, huh? Amen. Amen. So Heavenly Father, we are very, very thankful that we can have the richness of your love and grace manifested through your act, Father, of giving your Son. I don't know how you did it to see him be tortured and go through that horrible death. I just don't know how you did that, Father. But you sure must have had a great love, a depth of love unknown to man, to allow that to happen. But Father, I know you were real excited to see him raised up to sit on your right hand. And I'm thankful, Father, that we can see the heart of you as a result of these acts, and that we can live our life for you, knowing that we are in your hands forever anymore, forevermore, Father. So thank you very, very much that we can know you and know what your Son did for us. So we sure love you, Father, and thankful for these times ahead that we can live for you until Christ comes back. And I pray in that powerful, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Great. Well, what are we going to do next, Barney?